I want to refer you back to the reading before this one. That's in Matthew 27. It's that longish reading. Matthew 27, verse 27 to 56. And verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of saints who had fallen asleep were raised. I'll stop there. Well, I want to share a few thoughts, really, about those words. I don't intend to be long, but I want to think briefly about the question, how can I know God? How can I know God? It's a question for people who don't know God, but it's also a question for people who do know God. Maybe they've lost their way, they've lost track, they're out of fellowship with God and they need to reconnect. Those who don't know him, well, they need to connect with him. It's so important that they do. And the only way to do that, to either connect with him to begin with, or to find your way back to him, is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in ancient times, the Jewish people had a temple, and its basic design had three parts. There was an outer court, and then there was a middle court, which was called the holy place, and then after that, there was the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And nobody could go in there. Only the high priest could go in there. And that was once a year. And he had to go in there and offer sacrificial blood for the forgiveness of sins. And the reason why it was called the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, is that the symbols of God's very presence with his people were kept there. That was where the presence of God, if you like, was thought to dwell. And even the priests couldn't go in there, only the high priest. And he would enter with the blood of the sacrifice, as I mentioned, to make atonement for the sins of the people, for his own sins. And the rest of the people, the rest of the temple was forbidden to the rest of the people. And the holiest of all was only for the high priest to go in. Anyway, there was a big curtain in front of the Holy of Holies. And the purpose of that is obvious. It was to stop people going in. I mean, it couldn't physically stop them, but it said no entry. Positively, no entry. You find such a thing even today in Catholic churches and in some Anglican churches. There's a screen or a line of demarcation between the worship of the people and the worship of the priests. Well, that's a sort of echo of the ancient temple of the Jews. Well, if that's the case, if we are not allowed into the very presence of God under that old system, as it were, how can anyone get near to God? How can you get near to God? How can I get near to God? We need a high priest to go in for us, and to make a sacrifice for sin. Because without the sacrifice for sin, we can't approach God. And really, that's what this service is about. We are remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are thinking of the sacrifice for sin that he was. He was the high priest, and he was the sacrifice all in one. And in this passage from Matthew 27, we read that Jesus was crucified, that he died on the cross at Calvary, and that when he died, that great curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And in light of the question, how can I get access to God? I want us to think about three things, very short things tonight. The first is that Jesus died. That's the first thing. The second is that the curtain was torn in two. And the third thing is, how does that answer the question, how can I know God? Those three things. Firstly, Jesus died. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, the Son of God, was on the cross, and his Father didn't come to save him. Think about that. He left him there to die. He cried out, why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer. And everybody could see it. They said, oh, he's calling for Elijah. Thinking, well, maybe Elijah will come and rescue him. But there he was, on the cross, and God remained in his holy place, and he didn't come there. He was despised and rejected by those around him, and he was forsaken by his heavenly Father. Just as God distances himself from us, he distanced himself from his Son. Why? Why did he do that? Why didn't he act to save him? Well, God distanced himself from his Son because of sin. He distanced himself from his Son for the same reason that he is distant from us. See? Because we are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. That's the comment that it makes about all humanity. All have sinned. And we are well short of the glory of God because of what goes on in our lives, in our thoughts, in our hearts, in the things we do, in the things we say. And you don't need me to tell you that. That's the fact of the matter, isn't it? It's in us all. Anger, unclean thoughts, lying, wanting the stuff that we shouldn't have. All of that. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about the effect of sin. It says, your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So God won't look at us. And we live in a world where people think that they should be allowed to do whatever they please. And that brings chaos to human relationships. It brings destruction to our relationship with God. Our sins have separated between us and him. And we might think that we don't have a problem with him. I want to tell you, he has a problem with us. God has a problem with us. And we have a problem even if we don't know it. But the real issue is his problem with us. In another place, speaking about God, it says, he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look upon wickedness. He can't look upon us. Because he sees the heart. Whatever veneer we have, he sees beyond that to the heart. So what about Jesus on the cross? He was innocent. They could find no fault in him. Pilate admitted it. Innocent of any crime and free from any sin. Now, can you imagine that? From birth to death, he never once broke God's law. Have you broken God's law? Don't say no. He never broke God's law. Why then, when he was on the cross, did God forsake him? Why? Because of sin. He cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And then he died. It says he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Now, why was that necessary? Well, because the penalty of sin is death. He carried our sin in himself, and he bore the punishment of sin in his own body. He was forsaken by God, the Bible says, in order to bring us to God. And so that's the first point. He died. But he died for sins not his own. The second point is the temple curtain was torn in two. At the moment of death, that great curtain between the holiest of all and the rest of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Other things happened, miraculous things. And it means, you see, that the way into the holiest of all, where God is, had become open, and people could go in. Jesus opened the door of the holiest of all for people like you and me. And he went in before us with the sacrificial blood. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. As the high priest would go into the holiest of all in his special clothing and with a breastplate with the names of the tribes of Israel on his breast, and he would go in and represent his people before God as he made atonement for sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and made atonement for sin for all his people as well. Are you one of them? Are you one of those people? Is he your substitute? Is he your representative? Every one of us, a sinner. Everyone he represents, a sinner. But you see, the old symbols have now given away to the reality. And this is what the Bible says about it all. All that temple ritual, all the ceremony, all the protocols, all the restrictions. What it says in the Bible is this: according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. No forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Why? Is sin that bad? How do you measure sin? Do you measure sin by comparing yourself to somebody else? You measure sin by God. You measure sin by the cross. If you want to know what God thinks about sin, look at the cross. And then you'll know. And that's when we realize, when God opens our eyes to what sin really is, that he can't even look on it, then we know how deep our need is, how much we need a great high priest and a perfect sacrifice. And this is what the Bible tells us. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands like the ancient temple. He hasn't done that, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not as the high priest enters the most holy place every year, But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For it's appointed to men once to die. All of us are going to die. You know, in the pandemic, they were talking about people who died before their time. Nobody dies before his time. But we are all terminal. All terminal. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed for men, one to die, and after that the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So you don't have to go to church and witness Christ being sacrificed time after time after time in the Mass or anything like that. He was sacrificed once for sin, and that's enough. So you want to know God, you want access to God, you want him as your friend, you need Christ as your high priest and your sacrifice. And how you need him, how I need him, because we are bankrupt. And he's the only one who can pay the price. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And this is the one who offers himself in your place and mine. And so let me finish with these few words. Our access to God is through him. See, we can go into the holiest of all through Jesus. He died the righteous for the unrighteous. To what end? For what purpose? To bring us to God. That's what it says in the Bible. He died to bring us to God. We are distanced from God. But Christ paid the price of sin and he closed the gap. He did it in order to bring us to God. So that we can come to God and confess our sins and be forgiven. And know in our hearts the peace of God which passes all understanding. It does pass understanding. How can I be forgiven? Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. But Christ died. Why did he die? Because he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he gave the church such a hard time before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Threw them into prison. Supervised the stoning of Stephen to death. That was the man. But after he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The curtain was torn in two. Praise God, it has never been repaired. It has never been sewn back together. The opening is still there. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the basic question here tonight is, are you in Christ Jesus? Are you? What it means is, are you connected to Jesus by faith? So that everything he did for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when my sin comes back to bite me, I can tell the devil, Christ has died. When my health gives way and I find life increasingly difficult, I can come to him. I have access through the Lord Jesus Christ. When others make life difficult for me, I have a friend in whom I can confide. He has borne all my griefs and my sorrows. When I haven't got enough money, I have one who provides. And when I'm anxious about the future, I can trust my life to him. He never goes to sleep. He is the keeper of Israel. And when I'm dying and about to pass from time to eternity, and when you get to my age, you think about that quite a lot, I still have access to God. And you see, the curtain isn't there. The gap remains. And you and I can go through it into the presence of God, into the holiest of all. The curtain has never been repaired. And I have a permanent representative in the presence of the Holy God, and a permanent relationship with God through him. We used to sing a hymn or a chorus. It says this: there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. A door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin, when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Let's pray.